Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you enjoyed a delicious lunch, and welcome back for our afternoon session. I love this session. This is something we've been doing for a number of years, just creating the opportunity to hear from some different youth workers on the ground. And we've got some fantastic youth workers to come and share with us this afternoon, guys who have been serving Jesus over a long number of years in youth ministry. So I know this is going to be an absolute treat. And what we've asked our friends to do is to share on the theme best of times, worst of times, right? Because what you and I know is that youth ministry is not always up and to the right, is it? But there are some real hard challenges. There are some real difficult times. And sometimes we get home on a Friday night or after a Sunday morning and think, what am I doing? But then at the same time, there are just some moments, aren't there, of incredible joy, where we see the Lord break into a young person's life and bring transformation or revelation, and we just think this is the best thing ever. And that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? It's not always good, it's not always bad, but it's always a privilege. And so we've got some wonderful people, Kelle, BC, Christy, Leanne, and Ethan, who are each going to share with us for 8 minutes, strictly 8 minutes, just to let you know, if it goes over 8 minutes, you do have permission to start booing, like just walk out, like throw things at them, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But this is going to be really good. And then once we've done that, so I'm saying this now so you can already start thinking about it, we're going to have some conversation time. Because what we want to do is engender a bit of reflection on your own youth ministry over the years. And to ask you to think about what have been the best times and the worst times for you. But critically, not just what were the best times and what were the worst times, but what is it that God showed you through those times? What was it that God taught you through those times of real challenge? What was it that God revealed to you through those times of real joy? So after we've heard from these guys, we're going to have some time to reflect on our own youth ministry journey and our best of times and our worst of times. So without further ado, would you please give a very, very warm welcome to Kelle, who's going to kick us off. Come on, Kelle.
Hello. How's everybody doing? How was lunch? I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed that. It was really good pasta. My name is Kelle. I'm originally from Fiji. Grew up in Hawaii, and now I'm in Swansea, Wales. And it's such a privilege to be in Swansea. It's a great opportunity. I am a husband of my wife's name's Jess, and then I also have a 9-month-old boy whose name is Zephaniah. He's a big old chunk. And takes a lot of, you thought you could love someone and then you have a kid. And they say that all the time, but yeah, I absolutely love my my son. But it's an honor and privilege to actually be up here on stage. The first time I was here was last year, and this is my first time at a Leaders, Limitless Leaders, and first time being in Elam. And just being able to be on the stage here is just a privilege. When I came, I was 2 months in my job and still trying to figure it out, most of you, well, all of us have, and you've all mastered your craft. But I was 2 months in, and I want to give you a little bit of update of what happened within my first year, but also within just the real learning curves of a youth minister. So my first week of youth ministry, I went straight into this. There was a guy in our youth that he was in a couple with he was in a relationship with one of my youth, and they ended up breaking up. The boy ended up threatening to kill the girl's mom, and he's on the phone with me. And now I'm having to go through all of this thing, and I'm a week into youth ministry. And I'm like, how do I handle this? So all of a sudden he calls me up and like, hey, I just stabbed myself, and what do I do? And I'm upset, and I'm going to kill myself, and found out that he stabbed himself with a pencil, and it wasn't even a puncture. It was just like just to get attention. But in my head, I'm like, what did I just sign myself up to? But at the same time, I was like, this is a privilege that I get to talk to someone through this process. Another one was a month into me being in youth ministry. There was this one kid that everyone talked to, and everyone looked up to in youth, and he was like that kid that, you know, if you influence him, everyone else will follow suit. And so I, one of my my previous youth pastor, who was my mentor, he said, always look for the youth leader that everyone follows. So I try to, I pointed him out. I was like, I'm going to pursue this kid. I'm going to reach out to this kid, constantly reaching out. And eventually I started gaining traction, and then we were going to meet up. And then all of a sudden I get a phone call that he stabbed someone. And I'm like, what? Now what do I do? And I'm like trying to figure this out. And I'm like, wait, am I doing something wrong? Or all of this. And I'm putting this blame on me. But at the same time, I'm like, wait, this is youth ministry. This is life. And some of these kids are growing up in these backgrounds. I'm not really going into my stuff. I'm just giving a little bit of advice, not from my experience this past year. And then I went to Limitless Festival. And I thought it was a great idea to grab as many churches as we can and go together. And we take 90 kids and let's camp together. And can I just apologize ahead of time to anyone who was in Green 3? If you camped around me, I am so sorry. I got complaints after our first morning that our kids were throwing shoes from across the road to other tents in the middle of the night. And then running around those same tents and then hitting the top of their tents with the lightsabers. So I apologize if that's you. If Swansea, if you hear the word Swansea and you get angry, I apologize ahead of time. But for myself, there's a lot of things that I've been told and been given advice on what to do, what not to do, and how to do certain things. And I would say I've gone through now my first year of youth pastoring, and I would say this is very, very fundamentally like the rookie mistakes. But I made the rookie mistakes. One of the big ones that I learned was I allowed other people's opinion and suggestions to steer my ministry and to steer the youth ministry. And see, I love someone, for just a little context, I love feedback. Not affirmation, there's a difference. I love feedback, and I love like getting people's opinions of what can we do better. I come from business mind, and I'm always like trying to switch things and make it better and make it work. But what started happening was I started shifting my the ministry from God-centered to system-centered. And I started shifting from what God wanted, and He loved those real unique things that you could do better, but you know that God does something in those messes. And I was like, oh, I really need to change that because we need to make it perfect. We need to make it look a certain way for it to fit. And one of the things that I learned was everyone was suggesting this and do this, and change this and make it better. And one of the things that started happening was it started actually affecting the youth. And we started growing from a really small number, and we started really growing really quick. And things started changing, things started shifting. And what started happening was I lost sight, and I focused a lot of it on numbers. And a lot of us may or may not admit it, but we kind of get caught up in it sometimes. And I really got caught up in it. I was like, oh, this is great. We're doing something good, so we need to keep developing this. And I lost sight on the number one thing, and I lost sight on Jesus. And I sat down one moment, and our leaders for 3 weeks in a row, we sat down, and we were like, our kids hate us. And they literally, I felt like, I would have kids sitting out there while we're doing worship, just standing there and looking at us, not even engaging. And I made a mistake because I had lost sight on Jesus. And one of my key things that was a failure and also a learning curve that I really had to value and really had to change was I had to change from looking at man and actually looking at God and focusing on God. And that's very basic and very like, that's very elementary type of thing that we you don't make that mistake. But I did, and I'm more than willing to admit to that mistake. In John 5:19, it says, we all know this. Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing on His own accord, but what He sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And I changed my mindset. I changed from that moment on that I want to do what God is doing. where he is, I'll go. What he's saying, I will say. And no matter if it looks ugly, clunky, or anything like that, I'm willing to look like a fool for Jesus because I'm tired of it, trying to make it look perfect. And that was one of my one of the first things, and one of the valuable lessons that's very, very elementary and very, you don't make that mistake, but I did. Another one of the second areas where I really learned was things I wish I knew before Youth Expand and before Youth Girls. And I am one, if you know me, I love admin. Actually, I hate it. But as Youth Expands, so does admin. And I've had to really learn how to suck it up and get over it. But one of the areas where I had to grow and really had to learn was I had to reprioritize our values and vision. And I had to communicate it over and over. Because as people come in, as youth leaders come in and youth leaders go, it's easy for, and kids come in and everything's growing and so much stuff is going on. It's easy to lose sight of the vision and the path where God had set before you. And for me, for myself, that was one of the lessons that I learned. Reestablishing boundaries for our leaders. I had to reestablish a lot of the boundaries again. I would like to say that I have a value for confrontation, but healthy confrontation in a way that it leads to progress and it leads to growth. And one of the things where I like to do, I like having that, but then when it doesn't happen and then things start falling apart in terms of leadership, that's my fault. And then I have to have a healthy communication with myself to then have bigger and bigger conversations within my team and leaders. And then the last thing, look, this is from one person's experience. So you guys have hundreds in this room. You guys have so many lessons and so many experiences where you guys have learned. And I know that I'm very new and I'm very young in this. And I am also very eager to learn. But I'm trying not to make the same mistakes. But one of the areas that I had to learn was I had to focus on quality, not quantity, when it came to content. And this is an area where I had to, where it was a failure at first, or it was a learning curve at first, and then became a success, and it became a victory. One of the areas where I had to go back, and youth, we really, one of my highest values is worship and presence. And we were going after that, and what started happening was we were running, but then the youth weren't coming with us, and they weren't interested anymore. And I went with God. I went before God, and I was like, God, what are we doing? Like, are you still here, or have you moved on? And he said, no, I've moved on to something better. And not saying, look, I'm one person. God is always on presence. Kids, God transforms kids in his presence, and God transforms all of us in his presence. But he said, I want you to actually look and prioritize right now content. And we would have youth how our structure was we'd have fun and games, and then we'd have worship, and then we'd have a message, and then we'd go back to fun and games. And what he wanted me to do was he wanted us to shift and put more time and instead of content, but he wanted us to do more things that's engaging. So we changed the Friday night. We changed every week is different. So what we did was we changed Friday night, the first Friday, we changed it, we call it the couch. So we'd have kids, people come out, and we'd have youth sit on the couch, and we'd ask them questions. And then the youth then inspire each other. And then the next week we'll have, or the next Friday, the following month, we would have leaders come up and share. So we started doing this thing called a couch, basically like a panel. And then the following week we started doing this thing called equipping, where we would start equipping kids prophetically and having them ask God, what is God speaking to you now? What is God doing? And then after that, we would do things called, I call it small talk, where I would get three leaders. Basically what we're doing here is I would get two kids and one leader, and I would have them come up and share a word and share a message and give really really good revelation. But it's kids giving it to them, giving it to each other, and they're inspiring each other. And then the last one would be we would call it an event. So like this week, this coming Friday, we're doing this thing called Glow Stick Party. And my vision behind it was I want to touch on the fivefold ministry. I want to touch on prophetic, evangelistic, teacher, preacher, and apostolic. And each week, I want to actually touch on them learning and being equipped prophetically. And then evangelistic is an event for them to bring their friends to. And then pastoral and them sharing. And one of the things that I learned, I don't know what my timer is. I think I've gone over. Yeah. And one of the things that I really learned was I actually valued and one of the areas where I've grown in and seen success in is changing how I do Fridays and not being afraid of that and being open to change and being open to it. So, yeah, those are my victories and failures this year. Hope you guys are blessed. We've got Christy coming up.
Hello. Hopefully you can see me over this. People never know if I'm preaching or doing a magic act. Like, now you see me, now you don't. Hello, my name's Christy. I'm the youth pastor at Holy Trinity Church in Weston-super-Mare. And yeah, one Westerner, nice. And I've been coming up to being there for about 5 years now, which is really good. I love living in Weston. I love being by the sea and the mud, and it's really good. But I used to be a youth pastor in Glasgow, and I was a youth pastor in Glasgow for 5 years. And I loved it. And what I've learned over the last 5 years in Weston and 5 years in Glasgow is that Glasgow and Weston are very, very different places. I love them both, but they're very different. And the young people that I work with now in Weston are very different to the young people that I work with in Glasgow. Both have their amazing qualities. But the young people that I worked with in Glasgow, they were mostly like street kids, kids that didn't have a church upbringing. Their families weren't from church. So they came with their own sort of challenges, which sometimes challenged me at times. So when I was thinking about my biggest youth ministry fail, it happened in Glasgow. And it made me the person that I am today. And I feel like after this incident, just nothing can faze me anymore. I feel like indestructible after this. Not, but that's how I felt. So it was on a Friday night. That's when our youth club was. And we often got like tipped off at the door by some of our youth team who would sneak out and they would look at the kids in the queue as they were lining up to come into the youth club. And they would have a look to see if there was any like obvious signs of alcohol or cigarettes or knives or anything like that. So they would tip us off. And there was one week that there was a lot of that going on. And to be fair, like we would ask them, like we've heard this has happened, is it true? And they'd mostly say yes and they'd hand it over. We'd confiscate it and that'd be fine. But there was this one week. It wasn't just bad stuff like that we had to confiscate. It was also like prank stuff too, like stink bombs, slime, like anything that they could like terrorize us with. So there was one night we had to confiscate quite a lot of this boy. And he was a nice boy, but he liked to wind us up. And I'd taken a lot off him at the door that night. Like I'd taken off, like see those like little things, you throw them at the ground and they like snap. Like them, all them, and like loads of prank stuff. So I took it all off him, and I was like acting like the big man. I was like, just try anything with me now. Like, I've taken it all off you. There's nothing you can do. Good luck. Enjoy your time at the club. And we got through the club about halfway through, and it was fine. Everything was going well until a girl comes up to me, and she was one of the few quiet girls we had. And she came up and she tapped me, and she was like, Christy, I have to tell you something. Something's happened in the toilet. And I just want to let you know, I promise it wasn't me. And I was like, right, okay, what's this? I was like, what is it? Someone wetted toilet roll and stuck it to the ceiling or like just shoved stuff down the toilet and clogged it, the usual toilet time fun. And I was like, what's happened? So she took me to the toilet and she's explaining what's going on. And she said she went to the toilet. She washed her hands and she went to dry her hands. And we had, you know, like the things on the wall, the paper towel dispensers, and you pull them out one by one. We had one of them. So she washed her hands. She went to dry her hands. And as she did that, she was pulling out the toilet paper towels, and a full-on, full-size poo fell out of the paper towel dispenser. And it landed on her shoe. And I'm like, okay, never seen that before. And you know what? I was just thinking, what's the thought process? So someone has went into the toilet, done the toilet, fished it out, and then put it in the toilet paper dispenser and waited for the next victim. I'm like, what? So I wasn't even mad, because I'm like, that's genius. How do you think like that? I'd never seen anything before that in my life. So obviously I had to act mad, like, that's totally unacceptable. We've got to go and find the culprit, like, no, no. And I knew exactly who'd done it. It was the boy at the door. I took off all his stuff from him, all his prank stuff, and I went straight up to him, and he was smiling, and I was like, I just asked him, mate, why? Why did you do that? And he looked at me, and this is what he said. He says, well, you took away all my other stuff. I just had to use what I had. And I was like, you know what? Fair play. Like, and, like, to be honest, as I was writing this, I was beginning to wonder if, like, that was my greatest ministry failure, my best highlight. Like, my actions had caused that boy to use such great initiative. Like, that's amazing. But I had to clean it, so it was my fail. So what's my biggest highlight? Well, the boy who pooed in the paper towel dispenser has also inspired my greatest highlight. Because what he said to me, I think about it quite often. I just had to use what I had. And I'll come back to that in a second. But how do we measure success in youth ministry? Because apart from that one night, it's not like I'm a cleaner and I get home at the end of the day and I'm like, right, I've cleaned 7 toilets and 2 carpets and 3 ovens. Like, that's what I've done today. Sometimes at the end of the week, I get to the end of the week and I'm like, what have I got to show for this week? What have I done that's even made any sort of difference in the life of a young person or a team member? And it can be easy to feel that you failed a lot of the time. Because it's hard to measure success in this job or feel like what you're doing isn't making a difference to anyone's life. So for me, those highlights are the little moments where a young person just gets it. Something drops from their head to their heart. And my biggest passion above everything else is the Word. I just love the Bible. I love studying the Bible. I love showing people how to study the Bible. And my best highlight, I suppose, was during lockdown. Should use trigger warning for that word. But my best highlight was in lockdown. And I had to ask the question to myself that the poo boy asked that night, what do I have that I can already use? And it reminded me of the story of Moses. A lot of the stories involving him involved his staff. Moses, take your staff and throw it in the ground, it'll become a snake. Or Moses, put your staff in the Nile and it'll become blood. Or raise your staff in the air and it'll part the Red Sea. We know that it wasn't a magical staff, it was just a stick. It was just something that he already had in his hand. A stick that he used in his everyday life. It didn't seem significant at all, but when Moses went from excuses to willingness, it's then that God used that stick as a vital tool to set the nation of Israel free from slavery and help them get to the promised land. And that's when it struck me, it's not actually really about what you have, it's about your willingness and your heart before God to use what you have and be obedient to him. Yeah. What have I got already that I can use? That's the question I still ask myself. It's the question I'm asking you, what have you got already that you can use? So that's the route I went down for my highlight. I thought at that moment in time in lockdown, I don't have anything really to offer. I can't even offer like myself, like, let's meet up. I can't. All I've got to offer is this book, this Bible that I read every day. So I started a Bible study, which I was surprised anyone gave to, but they did. And my highlight was that I had this group of young people who were just desperate to read the Bible, desperate to study the Bible, and they still study and read the Bible now. They sit in their Bible journal and take notes and just want to learn more about it, which is amazing. And don't get me wrong, sometimes they come to me and they're like, oh, Christy, I've not picked up my Bible in like 2 weeks or a month. And I need to get back into it. I need to start reading my Bible again. And I think before that would have really disheartened me. Like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I get them to stay consistent or whatever? But I don't see that as a fail anymore because I see it as a way, like, when they stop reading the Bible now, they notice that something's not right in their life. They notice that there's something that's not quite sitting okay. They notice when they don't have the Word in them and when they're not spending time in his Word. So for me, that's my biggest highlight, to be teaching the next generation how to read the Word of God, because I've come to realize I can't change anyone, you can't change anyone, but Jesus is the person who can change lives. He loves to speak to us through his Word. It's one of the best ways he can communicate with us, and it's amazing getting to watch young people grasp that for themselves. So for me, it doesn't get much better than that.
great start. just falling over. Thank you. You did really great with the poo. I don't know what I'd have done. hi, I'm BC. I'm the youth leader at Stevenage. Ilim Stevenage. thanks. right. Yeah, I got married last year, July. that's the exciting bit. Okay, I'm just going to go straight into it. I've sort of penned it down so I can just read it out to you as a story. So I'll start with the failure and then we can finish with a highlight. In my over 5 years of serving on the team, I've had a number of failures, I'm sure we all do, and success. But these ones come to mind when I thought about sharing with you guys today. In 2016, just before leaving uni, I personally made a commitment to God, you know what, Lord, I'll share. I'd like to share with the young people of my church about the Jesus that I'd come to know in more depth. Honestly, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But a few months after returning back to Stevenage, I was approached and offered the opportunity to lead the team. Of course, I prayed about it, and I stepped into the role. And then the drama began, really. not long after stepping in, key young adults, well, I thought they were key young adults, started to leave the church. And of course, I thought that it was because of me. But really, when I think back now, it really wasn't, because things had happened. I'd been at uni for 4 years. So things had transpired, and most of them had made the decision to leave the church. However, a few months after, a vibrant young couple joined, and I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Finally answered my prayer. The wife was so zealous, you know, vibrant, full of ideas. And to me, you know, just from looking outwardly, young people seemed to draw to her. We organized activities, events, you know, the works, and they were all really successful. And obviously a part of me really wanted to hold on to them. It's like, you gotta stay, you're not leaving. And I didn't really want them to start to see, I don't know, shall I say, any sort of weakness or anything that would make them want to leave. Well, so I was really hoping that they would stay for the long run and help me build. In my bid to work this out myself, yeah, I said it myself. This is where we get in trouble when we try and do it ourselves. I literally said yes to pretty much everything that she was suggesting, like, let's do that, let's do that. We even had a youth barbecue at our house that summer. And I'd already like approached her to step in and assist me on the team. But to be honest, I actually can't remember praying about it. To me, she just fit the description, you know. But to cut the story short because of time, long after they did decide to leave, and when they did, it then actually transpired that she had been pushing to take the leadership role. And she had actually been sort of like, you know, when sort of like influencing the young people and just causing confusion and division within the team and even to team leader, okay, which one of the team leader actually then revealed to me afterwards. But what did I learn in this? I'd fallen into the trap of people pleasing, that I forgot the purpose. I was the same person that said, God, I'm committed to, you know, telling the young people about you, but I lost focus. I lost focus of the aim and who I should be pleasing. That I actually started to build the youth ministry on the wrong foundation. And at the time, this was a huge blind spot for me. So what did I learn from this? That it's about who God needs on the team. I thought I needed as people, and honestly, that I literally spiraled into people pleasing. And you know what? God had the right to stream them down. You know, like he did with Gideon in the book of Judges 7, where he's just like, you have too many men. And the other thing that I learned from this is God looks inwardly, and most of the time we look outwardly. And if I need to know what God is seeing on the inside of people, that I need to seek that out with him. Okay, remember with Samuel, he taught like, all of the sons were the ones that God wanted, but meanwhile it was David. So from then on, you know what, I get to check with Jesus honestly, trust me, before I approach anyone to join the team now, I take my sweet time. I'm like, Jesus, is that you? Oh, is that me? let's just get it right, okay? So that is what I've learned, to really sit it out with God and let him tell you what he really wants to do and who is really calling into that team. Because in the end, the souls of the young people are at stake, okay? We're dealing with souls. And to my success story, in 2020, we're preparing to attend Limitless One, in Ilford. And about 10 of us, I can't remember the exact number, I tried to find it, I couldn't. We're going to attend, but for some reason, and honestly, team today, I don't know why, we struggled to organize and put transport in place. So we had to go from Stevenage to Ilford. And one of the team members that could have really volunteered to say, all right, okay, we'll take some of the attendees and drive us down, he had prior engagements and he was already going to be in London. So we had the means to come back, but not to get there. Just so you know, the thought of me driving into London makes me anxious. It's another level of anxiety, okay? I just don't do it. You can't pay me. It's not going to happen, okay? So they suggested that that the church hires a mini coach and I drive the young people. That I was like, yeah, nah, nope. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry, I am not doing it. But it just seemed that no one else was available to take us. And it seemed like we'd exhausted all options. And my pastor, the head pastor, suggested that we just cancel and not attend that year. To be honest, it was the easy option to take. I could have just said, yeah. But I don't know why I didn't. I just said, no, I'll take them on the train, which he agreed to. So we spoke to the parents for consent and spoke to them. And they were happy for us to go on the train. I was like, okay, great. We went on the train. I mean, taking you on the train, yes. And on the ground as well. We made it. I remember Dan preached that year, and three of the youth stepped out to give their life to Christ. And it began to dawn on me why there were so many obstacles and hindrances to us attending that year. You know what? I was very pleased, and then I persisted. What if they were not in the room in that moment? What if? And at the youth service that month, we also gave another opportunity for people to give their life to Christ, and more stepped forward. And this birthed the class Saved by Grace, which we ran through lockdown via Zoom with seven of them. And we went through the book, New Believer's Guide to Effective Christian Living. We just gave them opportunity to ask questions about the faith, give them practical guides. And it all went so well. And I remember the last session, we talked about baptism because, you know, why not? You have to use the next sort of stage just to encourage them. And to be honest, none seemed interested. It was just like, all right, okay, we heard. But no one really wanted to. Anyway, the session completed and we just carried on with ministry as normal. But in July 2022... a lot of good things happened to me in that month. But one of those was watching three of the seven youths in that class get baptized. And one of them had given their life at Limitless One 2020. What did I learn? To persevere, like the persistent widow in Luke 18. And also to keep on sowing. Keep on sharing the word with them. Keep looking out for them. Keep praying for them. Yes, we all know that some of them are difficult and will be difficult. But it comes with a job, right? But something I've held on to was something the Holy Spirit told me in July 2020. And I didn't realize that it was exactly 2 years from the time the Holy Spirit told me this and when they got baptized until I was actually preparing for this, which in itself is awesome. He said to them, he told me, never stop sowing. And he led me to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. He said, I sowed the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. You know, I heard T.D. Jakes preach a message, don't drop the mic. I've come up with my own little slogan I want to share, keep dropping the seed. Why? Because Jesus has need for it. What would it make grow if you stop sowing? So my fellow leaders, fellow kids and youth ministry, keep dropping the seed. Amen. God bless.
Yeah, I ain't trying to climb up there. I've got little legs that I'm not wearing. Right, so I'm Leanne, and I am the youth leader at Kingdom Life Church in Newcastle. Whoop, whoop, up north. So I have been part of the youth team for about 7 years, and part of the leadership of that for the past 3-4 years. And I'm going to share with you guys just two stories. And before I start my first story, I'm just going to say I am good at admin. I like admin. I enjoy risk assessments. I like risk assessing and planning and strategic planning. So it was summer 2021, and just come out with COVID and everything was cancelled. And we kind of were like, we want to treat our young people. What should we do? So as a team, we sat down and we were like, let's do a weekend away. Yeah, great, let's do our own weekend away. We stayed in a church in Birmingham, and it was planned to the T. I had every minute of that weekend planned, scheduled, booked. We were at Alton Towers, we were at Laser Quest, we did sessions, we did morning sessions, evening sessions, worship. We went to church on the Sunday morning. We went to parks, we played games. Every second was planned. To my fail. In the genius moment, I went, oh, let's go to a water park. So I was like, yeah, let's go to a water park. They'll love that. So we thought, okay, there's a water park on our way home. So like, yeah, that's fine. We've got plenty of time. Well, we rocked up to the water park. We were an hour and a half behind schedule. And I was like, oh, no. Like, had to phone the place and be like, hey, we are booked in. We have paid. We're running late. We're stuck in traffic. At this point, we've got too many buses. We're trying to get up the motorway. First time driving a minibus. And I was like, feeling king of the road. However, it just didn't go well. All that rest that time just fell apart. The whole bit fell apart. So we got there, we arrived, and we were like, yeah, it's going to be great. All the kids were excited. They were like, whoa, we're going to go for this. I couldn't park the minibus because it was so busy. It was so busy, this water park. I mean, I think legally they shouldn't have had that many people in there. So I'm driving this big, massive bus, and I've got one of my teammates in the bus with me and a bus full of kids. And you're tired, you're exhausted, you've not slept because you've slept on an airbed for the weekend. You've literally had no time to stop and think and just be present. So what happened was, pulled into this car park that you're going to have to go into the extra bit. So we went into the extra bit. There was no space. So I was like, right, pulled up. And then I says, can you just get the kids out the car? Because I just needed a moment just with Jesus, just to be like, God, is this the right thing? Have I done the right thing here? And literally, I went to go and reverse the bus on my own. And the guy who was in the bus went, he banged on the window, he said, stop. I said, whoa. There was a line of cars parked behind my minibus. And this is between parking spaces, and the minibus is stuck here. I did a 25-point turn in a 16-seater minibus. Only God could have got me out with that safely. That was not me. That was totally not me. Anyway, I am waffling, so I'm going to move to the actual important part. So got into this water park. Yeah, fun. All the kids ran in. They were on the slide. It was busy. And myself, I nearly drowned, and I'm a strong swimmer. In the deep end, one of my young people had to save me, literally, because we were playing a stupid game in the deep end, and I didn't know it was a wave pool. So you can imagine, I was taken under, and the lifeguards were doing nothing. So this young person, he's like 19, now he's part of our youth team, and he came waddling down the water, and he said, I'm coming for you. I literally had to grab onto his neck as he took me back up to the shallow end. And as I got to the shallow end, I was like, oh, feeling quite relieved, like, okay, I'm just going to go and find a hot tub and sit in it and just let the kids play. And then one of my team said, oh, do you know such and such has just come over to me and told me that he doesn't know how to swim. I went, oh, you are kidding me. And I looked over, and he was in the deep end of the wave pool. And I was like, oh, I've nearly drowned, and I'm a strong swimmer. What's going to happen there? So I literally had someone tag him around the entire water park. But in that moment, I realised I forgot to risk assess the water park. And the fact that a young person could have drowned, and that was on me because I forgot to risk assess it. I got so caught up in all the COVID risk assessments of it that I kind of neglected the other side of the risk assessment. And afterwards, we got home, and one of the young people who was around when that conversation was happening went home and told his mom. And I was like, oh. So I got pulled up, and she's like, oh, did you not risk assess that? And I went, no. Well, I did, but wasn't to that point. And I should have asked the question, can your young person swim? So from that, this parent for a long time after that, every time we did a trip, used to come up to me and say, have you risk assessed? And I would go, yeah, I have. So what did I learn from that? I learned that actually we don't have to pack things full of activities. We don't have to be busy 24/7 at a time. On reflection, I was too busy that weekend that I wasn't present. And I wasn't present with my young people. And that's my favorite thing to do. My favorite thing to do is to chat with young people. It's to play games with young people. It's just do life with them. And in that moment, I realized I'd made myself too busy. So that I call that my failing, my quick victory, because I know time is running out. Obviously, due to COVID, our numbers changed in our gatherings quite rapidly and differently. And we started a sixth form connect group on a Tuesday night because we just felt there was something missing for that age gap. And it kind of was starting to die a death. And we were praying, God, should we stop this? Or God, what should we do? What needs to happen? What do you want to do in this gathering? And we kind of felt God saying, no, don't stop it. So sometimes last year, we only had one young person that would turn up. And we were kind of, are you sure, God? And God was like, no, continue. So we felt God saying, expand your age. And we noticed at Limitless Festival, a group of young people who were just on fire for Jesus, who wanted to go deeper. That actually, and they were year 11, so we're like, oh, let's do this. Let's change this group to those to want to go deeper. And what we did for that is we were praying in the planning process of it. Like our vision statement is belong, believe, bless. So belong to the Limitless Newcastle family. Come to know Jesus for yourself and use the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gives you to bless others. So then we kind of base that on Acts. And Acts 6, when you go from being waited on to wait as to lead us. So we thought, as September was coming, we were like, right, what we're going to do, God? What do you want to do? We don't want to just plan and do what we want. We want what you want to do. So we kind of felt God say, let the young people lead it. So we're like, okay, great. So me and the guy who does it, we kind of stepped back. We did the first couple of weeks and we said to them, hey, just seek Jesus when it's your week. Pray about it and see what God brings. Doesn't have to be long. Could be a couple of games if you want, or it could be a full sermon. Whatever you feel God's saying, come and do it. And we have had some amazing nights. They've actually brought better stuff than what me and Neil have brought. And we're like, whoa, where did that come from? So for me, that's my victory, that we persevered, that we actually, yeah, we can teach these young people, but when are we going to let them step out and do for themselves? There's young people out there who are ready and they're just waiting for that opportunity. So we found that in that group. And this is my last point. I am going to finish. I know time is on the essence. But we have a young boy and he's year 11. And it was literally on Tuesday. He brought, I've lost my Bible verse now, but it was basically 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's verse 9. Power, like weakness and stuff. He was talking about his weakness. And he just brought that Bible scripture and what he felt God say. And he also planned a game and had a worship song. But afterwards, he put himself down. And he said to himself, that was rubbish, wasn't it? And we said, no, it was amazing. Did you not see what happened? He said, no, what happened? And when we took him through it and processed it with him, his Bible verse linked into the game he had brought also linked into the worship song we brought, so you could see the Holy Spirit working through him. And he left there feeling so encouraged, and that's what it's about. It's giving them opportunity. It's in growing them to step out, and that's our last bit, is to use their spiritual gifts that God's given them to bless others. And that is me.
Hello. No one enjoys risk assessments, and if they say they do, they are lying. You don't. You really don't. My name's Ethan. I am the youth pastor in a church called Port on Elam in the north of Ireland, having the best time and loving it. I want to share with you something that for me, as I kind of thought about what has been one of the worst times for me in youth ministry, and this is where I kind of landed on and concluded. To give you a bit of context for our youth ministry, we have a bit of hangout time when doors open beforehand, so young people can come in, sofas, tuck shop, hangout, all of that, and it's brilliant. And we have that for about half an hour, then we go upstairs and have a program, preaching, worship, all of that. And in the kind of space beforehand, in that half hour, I was talking to one of our 11-year-old boys. He's just started first year. It's his first year in youth ministry. He was telling me that he was just coming from dinner. His dad had taken him out for dinner beforehand. And he was running me through all the stuff that he had ate before he came. And I thought, man, that's not good. Like, that, are you okay? It was like a list of all of these different things. I thought, I mean, that's not good. And so we were chatting and talking, whatever. And then it was time to go upstairs for the program. Was starting upstairs. So we went up, all young people started heading up. And I was downstairs. I was last to come. And I thought, I really need to pee before I go upstairs. So I'll pee. I went to go into the bathroom. And someone was in it, so I couldn't go. And I thought, oh, stuff it. Doesn't matter. I'll wait. I'll hold out. So I went upstairs. And I was preaching. And I was sharing that night. And I was excited about it. And I was expectant as well. And I was sitting at the back. And the guys were up. And they were hosting. They were doing game, all of that. And then we started into worship. And we got through the worship songs. And I knew in my head when the last worship song was going to be. The guy that I was talking to at the very start of the night just comes upstairs. I thought, I didn't even know he was downstairs. I was the only one. Then I collected, he must have been in the bathroom. So then he came up and he just slowly walked to me. He's not an overly confident boy, but he walked up to me and said, Ethan, you might want to put a wee sign on that door, just that the toilet's out of use. Why? And then in my naivety, I questioned, was like, is it broke? Like, is it leaking? Like, what's happened with it? And he just said, no, it's just something might be stuck inside it. And then he, like, sped walked the seat. And I thought, I'm getting up in, like, a minute here, but I also can't leave that. So I went downstairs and opened the bathroom door. And, guys, Pocahontas, it was absolutely disgusting. And I went in, and the smell hit me. And my first thought was, how on earth does that come out of an 11-year-old boy? And it was vile. And so what I had to do, as I hear the band finishing the song that I know they're finishing on, my hand is down the toilet, trying my best to dissolve this monstrosity that is down this toilet. And I can hear the band finishing, thinking, if the Spirit of God's not moving up there and they're not continuing, we're all snookered here. And my hand is down the toilet trying to dissolve this as best as possible. And he wasn't wrong either. It was stuck and it wasn't budging or going down. But we eventually got it and I went back upstairs thinking, they do not teach you this stuff in Bible college. This is not part of training whatsoever. But got back upstairs, had to go straight up and then just preach. And I stared him out the whole preach and thought, you better meet with Jesus tonight because your bowels need fixed big time. This is not good. But honestly, like, as a reflection on, as I thought about it after, it was hands down the worst I've had so far in youth ministry. But hands down, I didn't even mean that, but that was good. That was good. Didn't mean that. It was hands down the worst moment I've had in youth ministry yet. But you know, as I reflect on it, the biggest thing that kind of gripped my attention with it was this is leadership. This is just what it takes. And I love the moments of leadership where it's that you get to do a teaching or you get to sit with a young person with the Bible, you get to equip or you get to cast some sort of vision. I love those moments. But I was also reminded, I'm also called to serve young people too. This is part of the calling over my life and your life. I'm not called just to get all these moments that seem amazing and seem like highlights. I'm called to these moments that's just serving young people as well. And so before I'd ever ask another person to put their hand down the toilet to dissolve that monstrosity, I have to be the one that does it first. Before I ask someone to hoover a floor after youth, I have to be the one that, it's servant leadership. This is what you and I are called to. And so it was a brilliant reminder for me. And then just quickly on something that I guess over the past year was a real highlight for us. I felt like this stir, and I suppose over the past kind of year of this kind of stirring that I want youth ministry to be a place where young people feel empowered. I want it to be a place where young people feel equipped to be used and play their part in the story of God now at the age they're at. There's something about me that hates the idea of young people feeling like I have to wait till I'm 18 or when I get a full-time job or when I'm married, then God will use my life or then God will use what I have and all of that. I wanted them to know that right at the age that they're at, God wants to use your life. And so we kind of planned around how can we do this best and what ways can we do this. And so we planned a series. It's kind of like the tagline for Elevation, wasn't that? See what God can do through you. So we used that as kind of the title of the series, and we spent a number of weeks looking at this idea of how God might want to use your life at the age that you're at. And you kind of do the series, you kind of hope for the best because you have no idea which way it's going to go or if it'll kind of land or whatever. And some of the stories that we got after were amazing. We had one of the girls who's 14 who felt the weight of it, and so she invited about six friends to youth who a year later are still part of youth ministry, who are growing in the things of God, who are falling more in love with Jesus, who are reaching their family for Jesus. It's some of the stories that happen when you try your best or we try our best to allow the Spirit of God to empower them and equip them. Had a 15-year-old boy who came to me and said, I've just met with my teacher in school because I'm pushing for a prayer meeting to happen in schools once a week in the mornings. They said, and I asked them, and they said that they would get back to me, but it's been a couple of days, never got back to me. So I went back again and said, you haven't got back to me yet, but I've asked for a prayer meeting to start in school, and I'm just waiting. And he said, I'm so sorry, I'll ask and I'll get back to you today, and never came back. And so he said, he went back again and said, no, you said that you would get back to me, and you haven't got back. I really want this to happen, and it's looking like it's happening now because he has pushed it. This isn't an 18-year-old, it's not a 40-year-old, this is a 15-year-old boy who is pushing these things. And it's nothing to do with like a series. It's this idea of allowing and trying to help them understand that God wants to use the lives of young people now at the age they're at. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Or that story in 1 Samuel 16 where Samuel has to go to the house of Jesse because God wants to anoint the new king. And Jesse brings out all of his sons and it's all the oldest and the best. And he goes down each one and says, it's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one. Is there any more? And he says, well, there is one more. The youngest, who doesn't even get invited to the selection. And then he comes and God says, it's this one. This is the one that it was the youngest out of them all. And my heart is that I want to be part of a youth ministry that empowers and equips young people to play their part in the story of God now at the age that they are at. I don't want them just being consumers. I want them to participate in the things of God. I want them to be part of it. I want them to have. I don't want them to have just stories of people in the generations that have gone before, of things that they've heard that God done in the lives of other people. I want them to have their own stories, and we seem part of that. I want to see family members come to faith because 12-year-olds are witnessing to their mom and dad. I want to see schools changed and revived because there's 15-year-olds that are pushing for prayer meetings in their schools. And it was just a reminder for me and hopefully for all of us that God wants to use the young people that you have in your youth ministries to play their part in the story of God now. So that's just some things that God has taught me over the worst and best of times.
Fantastic stuff. Don't be afraid to change. Use the things that you have in your hand right now. Don't fall for that trap of people pleasing. Persevere and never stop sowing. Create the opportunity for your young people to step out. Create space for the Holy Spirit to empower and equip your young people with the things he wants to do in their lives now. And of course, leadership means getting your hands dirty. Some great lessons there. God, why don't we thank these guys one more time for that, those contributions. Love hearing those stories on the ground. And fitting, I think, in youth ministry that there were two stories about poo in their five talks. Okay, so to the people next to you, what have been your best of times and worst of times on your youth ministry journey? And what has the Lord shown you through those times? 5 minutes just to talk with the people around you and reflect on your experience just now.